Here's your daily briefing for Friday, the 28th of August. All is well. A remarkable new poll puts a number on something that South Africans have been doing for years, even if we didn't think we were doing something political. 80% of registered voters say that people in their communities are increasingly taking over responsibilities that government has failed to perform. That includes fixing roads, securing neighborhoods, finding alternative water and electricity, organizing community forums, and generally improving civilization. The result cuts across every political tribe. For example, 78% of black respondents, 90% of whites say the same thing, 71% of ANC supporters and 85% of DA supporters, 81% of MK supporters and even 84% of EFF supporters agree. The Social Research Foundation and Common Sense Survey covered 2,214 registered voters, and it carries a 2.1-point national margin of error. This is an unstoppable tide, because privatization is happening without any use or need for government in the picture. When the state retreats, as in South Africa it has, people who still want lights, roads, security and water fill the gap themselves. South Africans may disagree about things like capitalism or socialism, race, redistribution, but when things stop working, it's amazing. Everybody just becomes an enthusiastic supporter of private enterprise and the best solution at the cheapest price. This is a story that genuinely gives South Africans an advantage. We solve problems, we rely less on the state, and we become masters of our own destiny. Yes, it's very frustrating. Yes, it's expensive. But we're future-proofing ourselves at individual and community level in a way that other countries have very little ability to do. I know it sounds perverse, but our government's failure and our acceptance that, in Nelson Mandela's final words, it's in our hands, gives us an agency that the citizens of functional first world countries could only dream of. I suppose when life gives you lemons, make and sell some lemonade, right? Even the traditional leaders are calling politicians bloody liars. Zolani Mkiva, who is the Secretary General of the Congress of Traditional Leaders of South Africa, told an IEC meeting that there is nothing fundamentally wrong with South Africa's institutions. The problem is politicians who, and I quote, choose to be bloody liars and fool our people every time, close quote. Mkiva says voters have lost trust in self-serving political parties and should use elections to get rid of leaders who promise things and fail to deliver them. Now, I know what you're thinking. It's kind of ironic that a hereditary traditional leader is criticizing elected Democrats about accountability, but that's where we are now. Most South Africans have such a low opinion of politicians that many would probably choose a tribal chief over an elected ANC cadre, which is what you get when the elected cadres have behaved like entitled chiefs for three decades. What a bizarre country we live in. Airlines are making emergency plans because there's trouble at Natref in Sasolburg, which is the country's only inland crude oil refinery. That's disrupted jet fuel supplies at OR Tambo. Scheduled maintenance was compounded by a technical failure, prompting an emergency meeting between the Energy Department, Airports Company South Africa, and the fuel industry. Fly Safair, which carries more than half of domestic passengers in South Africa, has already arranged alternative supply, and they may tanker extra fuel aboard aircraft so that they need less of it in Johannesburg. Four South African refineries have either shut permanently or are offline, and that leaves the country dependent on imported refined fuel, all while Hormuz continues to be a problem. So it may not just be the passengers that are being ferried from Durban to Cape Town, it may also be some fuel for Johannesburg. South Africa's banks are showing what automation actually looks like. Absa have closed 79 branches and 120 ATMs in a single year. That's almost a fifth of their branch network. Nedbank has reduced permanent staff by 6,670 people since 2016. That's a 20.6% fall. In its retail and business banking operation, this reduction has been closer to 30% for Nedbank. But before you start blaming the banks and saying, oh, they're just getting rid of people to save money, that's not the case. Customers like you and me have migrated to apps because apps are faster, cheaper, and you don't have to wait in a queue and fill out forms to find out what's happening with your money. So it's obvious that the banks need fewer buildings, fewer tellers, and eventually fewer everything. AI unemployment, despite what you've heard, is not some dramatic future event where robots instead of people start taking up office jobs. Most automation will happen imperceptibly. The app will just get better. Then nobody replaces Fat Susan at the branch when she retires. Eventually, three branches become one. And before you know it, 6,000 jobs have disappeared. And there isn't a T-800 saying, I'll be back, ominously. It's just done. Among American men aged 20 to 39, the number who are unmarried has risen from 20.7 million in 2000 to 30.4 million in 2025, which is an increase of 47%, while the number who are married has fallen from 18.1 million to 15.4 million. There are now almost two unmarried young men for every married one in America. Some of this is because of delayed marriage, and a growing population makes the raw numbers look kind of dramatic. But separate survey work finds that most young single men still say that they do want to marry. The reasons that they aren't marrying include housing costs, delayed adulthood, economic insecurity, pornography, dating apps, collapsing social institutions, and people prefer swiping left or right on an app before they've ever met. None of those are good. Many social scientists and commentators also blame feminism and hypergamy for the reluctance of men to seek marriage at the rate that their fathers did. And for those who are celebrating this, before you do, be warned. The demographic consequences are mostly negative. Marriage and fertility are tightly connected. So America is experiencing what you could call a dating and marriage recession. Many young men are deciding it's not worth it anymore. This isn't good news for women either, especially for women who are interested in starting a family or having a meaningful relationship that goes beyond a one-night stand. Evidence from other countries around the world, including here in South Africa, are pointing in the same direction. So, every wedding you go to this year might be saving civilization, one marriage vow at a time. Make sure you celebrate. Whenever you think you live in a stupid, anarchic country, remember this. There's always some place that's worse. Today's dose of schadenfreude comes from Haiti, which has gone beyond ordinary political dysfunction and is approaching something much closer to institutional extinction. More than 21,000 people have been killed in Haiti since 2022, including over 3,000 in just the first half of this year. 1.47 million people are displaced from the island, nearly 6 million face food insecurity, kidnappings are on the rise, and gang coalitions control enormous parts of the country. Elections, in inverted commas, are theoretically scheduled for the 13th of December, that is, assuming the state can provide enough security for people to actually vote. The most powerful gang alliance in Haiti is led by a former policeman called, kid you not, Jimmy Barbecue Cherizier. He's the guy who got his nickname by actually roasting people over the open fire in Haiti. And that tells you something about the distance between normal politics and the reality for most Haitians. When people talk about failed states, there's a level below that, apparently. So not just potholes and corruption, but armed gangs that replace the courts, the police, and the government altogether. Civilization is much more precarious than comfortable first world societies imagine it is. Once legitimate authority breaks down, men with guns begin collecting the taxes and barbecuing their enemies in the streets. Suppose you should be grateful for small mercies. The disaster that you've seen on social media at the Nepal-Tibet border is considerably worse than the first reports suggested. What happened is that a huge section of a Himalayan glacier collapsed into a river valley and unleashed a high-speed wall of ice, rock, and mud that destroyed towns along the route between Kathmandu and Lhasa. At least 165 people are believed dead and nearly 1,500 are now missing, including more than 700 foreign nationals. Entire villages, roads, and power systems have been destroyed. Rescue helicopters are struggling to reach some areas, and more than 5,000 emergency personnel are involved. Earlier reports indicated that 4 South Africans may be among those who are unaccounted for. Every now and then, nature provides a ruthless reminder that our politics, our best-laid plans, and our arguments are conducted on land that doesn't need our permission to just rearrange itself, and there's no warning when it does. Finally, some great news. A girl from Delft in the Cape is going to live in Einstein's garden cottage. Here's the story. Delisha Davids, an academic and researcher at Stellenbosch University who grew up in Delft on the Cape Flats, has become the first ever South African selected for the prestigious Einstein Fellowship. She will spend her fellowship living and working in a garden cottage at Albert Einstein's former summer house in Germany, while she pursues interdisciplinary research outside her original specialization. The fully funded program is run by the Einstein Forum with the Wittgenstein Foundation and is designed for exceptional young thinkers who are willing to cross traditional academic boundaries. Delisha originally planned to become a maths and science teacher, became interested in teacher education and institutional change, and says the opportunity has not fully sunk in. So in case you're feeling sorry for yourself and wondering if you matter or if you're smart enough, remember that a young girl from the Cape Flats has been given an invitation to sit in Einstein's garden and think for a living. Amazing things do happen, so don't give up. That is today's Daily Briefing, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.